thank you. Bless you. Let's share this word together this morning, and let's just see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he enables each one of us to move on with our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Father, we thank you we can come into your throne room, and you say you can come with boldness. And today we come, Lord God, knowing you're for us, not against us. Knowing your heart, Lord God, is a heart of love and compassion. And so this day, Father, you want each one of us to have a closer walk with you. So guide me as I speak, and by your Spirit, Lord God, lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Colossians, please. Colossians 3. You know, I love this. I love the word completely, but I do really like the book of Colossians. It's an amazing book. It's really worth going through page after page of that for a month to enable you to get the most out of what the Holy Spirit wrote through Paul in sharing this with us. And it's got as a heading in this particular Bible, living as those made alive in Christ. And this talk has said, alive in Christ. Now, many Bibles I've looked at have got different things at the top there, but it's all to do with being alive in Christ. I'm going to read 1 to 17, and then we'll go through this together and see what God is saying to us. Okay, are we there? Thank you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to be peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We thank you, Lord God, for this word, and we pray as we share this together, you will enrich our lives, in Christ's name. Okay, let's start with verse 1, should we? Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated and at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, when you first read this, you think, I've been raised with Christ, but set your hearts on things above, not earthly things. I mean, this is quite something that we've got to take on board. But the thing is, the Lord knows the beginning and the end. Let me just come here and say this. One thing about when we read things to come as if they are already is because of that. The word I'll use here is eschatological, which means this. It means in the already, but not now. What do I mean by that? Okay, you've booked a holiday, and you've gone to Gatwick Airport, and you've gone through, put your luggage in, you've got your ticket, boarding pass, and you get on the plane, right? Well, you have taken off, and you are on your holiday, but you haven't got to your destination. You are in the already, but not, that's what it means, eschatological, in the ready. Right, just let me ask you a question. Are you a follower of Christ? I don't want hands to go up, but I want to just emphasize this a little bit if I can. Following Christ is a great idea, but he would rather have you a disciple. You see, you can follow a football club from your armchair. You're a follower, but are you doing something? Are you involved with something at the club, or are you just a kind of a bystander? That's following a football club. But if you are a disciple of Christ, you will want to be discipled and understand more and more. Let me just say something about this. A disciple carries the idea of dedication, obedience, effort. It's like an apprentice or an overseer. When I was 15, I was on an apprenticeship. It was 6 years. And it was learning all about the printing trade from beginning to end in 6 years. And there was a real lot to take in. And one of the people who was above me, his name was Roger Prentice, and he was a lovely Christian man. And so on this apprenticeship, it took him 3 years, but I did come to Christ, along with other people who were apprentices. He was a really good guy at sharing the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, in all that he did with us and oversaw what he did. And I can say those guys who came to Christ, as far as I know, they are still walking with Christ today. One is in Australia, I know, another I think has gone to Africa. But why I'm saying that is because it is being discipled which helps us understand what we will not be sidetracked, if I can put it that way. If you're discipled properly and you know you can rely on someone, know how I could rely on Roger, I knew he would always be there for me. I knew he would be whether I got it right or whether I got it wrong. And on an apprenticeship, believe me, you do get quite a few things wrong at times. So let's just go through this. You really do need to be discipled. So set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We know that. Set your minds above and not on earthly things. That is quite difficult in today's age with all the communications we have and all that we do. But I believe sincerely that we do need to have a time with the Lord every day, with the Word, take a notepad, write some things down that he speaks to you about. I'm just trying to help us. You're not saved through doing this. You're saved through the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. But if you want a good walk with him, and if you want a good relationship with him, then we have to do some things to enable this to happen. Then the next verse, 3. For you and I died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's how God sees us. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What's something to look forward to? When Christ comes and we will be with him in glory. Why? Because we, and I say this in the right way, please, I'll come on to chosen in a little while, but we chose, it's a choice that you make. So many people hear the gospel and yet they do not choose Christ. And that's not because Christ doesn't want them to, because it says in the word twice where I know, it says he does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to be saved. That's why very often we see things in this world that are not of Christ. Mankind has free will, and where there's free will, will always see things really wrong. Then it says here, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Come on, let's listen. This is what we're seeing today. Let's just listen to this. Put to death whatever is wrong or belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. And I'm praying to God, if there's someone here who knows they watch, do things, or whatever it is wrong, God by His Spirit will set you free. He will help you. But why I'm saying this is, come on. There is power in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, to release us and help us. So if that's you, or impurity, or lust, or evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, these things I've just read out are important to know that in Christ we are overcomers. We are overcomers. So today, you can be free today. You needn't think it's condemnation on you. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help you be encouraged and help with a closer walk with Jesus. But a lot of that depends on you. And as we go through here, let's just see what else God's got for us. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Do you remember? Most of us here, I can honestly say, have come a long way. Take heart, be pleased, because God is refining us through His Word and through His Spirit. And He's our helper and our guide. He will help us every step of the way. But let's take heed, because everything He says is to build us up and help us. He's not to drag us down. He's there to encourage us and help us in our walk with Him. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things. Anger. Come on. Do you know that you have a touch of anger about you? Does anger come about? Let's just be real. Rage. Have had any road rage, have you? But it's so easy to think you haven't until something really happens terrible. And then I know a lot of people, they don't seem to have rage, but on the road they do seem to have, get the worst comes out of them somehow. I don't know. Slander and filthy language from your lips. Now please hear me when I say this. The Word does not change, but we have to. Our society, when I look at society, and it's probably my age, I look at society, I cannot believe, as I walk down the street, to see, and I don't mean this against young people at all, but please hear me. Do you know, the F word is used in almost every language you hear. I am appalled to think that has become part of the language of every person, almost, not all, but loads and loads and loads of people. And as I walk along, I just think, where has this? People use this word as if it's just perfectly okay, as they do when they blaspheme Jesus' name. And I can say this honestly. There's a program on TV, and I don't know why I quite enjoy it, but it's called Posh Porn. But the porn is meaning ring stuff. Right. I've watched it a few times. And the other day, there was three times, I think, they took my Saviour's name in vain. Off. Then I looked and I saw that I had recorded about six of these. So it was off, 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 off. I think, no, if you take my Saviour's name in vain, you ain't worth watching. Just please hear me. There's things we need to do. And I just share this because I think we've shared this before. But we used to work on the rubbish dumps in Mexico. And boy, they were poor. Absolutely poor as poor. And we used to go there with a guy called Father Rick Thomas, a Jesuit Catholic priest. An amazing man who loved Jesus with all his heart. Why am I telling you this? Because when you see people who are helped, when you see people who are just so in love with Jesus And they used to have massive gatherings. And I can tell you, week by week on a Wednesday night when we went to this massive warehouse, he'd just say this, and the place was packed, hundreds and thousands of people. I really mean that. He'd say, those who have accepted Jesus this week, go to my right hand, and those who have a healing, go to the left. And I can tell you, there were absolutely dozens in each side. So that was really on fire for Jesus. And he said this. He said, how many of you have watched the film, The Titanic? And then people put their hand up and he said, shame on you. Shame on you. We thought, what's wrong with that? He said, didn't you know? He said, didn't you see the part where there was a couple in the car and the car was all huffed up inside because they were doing an act that they shouldn't be doing? He said, you should have turned it off. You should never have watched it. I thought, my word, what's this man doing? We won't watch anything. There'll be nothing that we can watch. But that's how he was. That's how he lived his life. And if you can see someone living their life like that, and the love that he had for these people on the dump, and the love that he had for all those little kids who only had a bean can to drink of and one set of clothes, you understand the way he lived was the way Jesus Christ lived. And I think sometimes we need an awakening in our heart and in our spirit. So watch your language. Watch what you watch. Don't be overcome by it. You overcome it by Jesus Christ. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. See, the Bible is full of these put-ons and put-offs, isn't it? He said, clothe yourself or put on something. Well, put on something so that you know you've got a shield around you to stop you looking at things that would displease the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have to be in the knowledge, renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here, and this is wonderful, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Isn't it wonderful? Your skin color, your age, whatever it may be, your likes and dislikes, you're all in the body of Christ. And he loves each of us just the same. There's not one of us he loves more than the other. Why do I say that? Because you may think somebody who fills stadiums would just say Billy Graham. Do you know, Billy Graham is no more favored than what the person is who cleans the loos. When you get to heaven, people will be rewarded. There is rewards in heaven. But let me say that the rewards will be, well done, my good and faithful servant, or words to that effect. And so the person who did the plan or the purpose that God had for their life will be just the same as the person who was the person up at a stadium or whatever it may be. So whatever plan God has got for your life, you fulfill it in what you know he's called you to do, and he has a plan for each one of us, so that we will all, with each other, be able to be the body of Christ working in all the goodness that he has for us. Therefore, okay, let's look at this, 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, and patience. God summoned you. Yes, he summoned you. And he said, I want you to know I'm calling you. Out of the lost world, you belong to me. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that everybody is chosen, except, well, everyone is chosen, but everyone is called but not feel chosen. But let me say this. I believe that you here today are chosen by God. And this is just my way of saying this. You can think, well, if all are chosen, why is there so few Christians? I just share this. I believe you have the choice. And I believe as you go through that door, and the door shuts, you see chosen on the other side. You don't see it on the door in front of you. You see it as you go through. It's by faith. by faith, but we are chosen. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holiness in our lifestyles. People do not like being addressed today, "We need holiness." But we do. Set apartness, that is, set apart for God. Set apart that we may live lives that are worthy of his name. That does not save you. It's the blood of Jesus on the cross that saves you. But if we want to please our Master and we want to please our Lord and our Savior, then let's do things. We are chosen. We are people who are holy and dearly loved. Again, it says here, clothe yourselves with compassion. You need a bit more compassion? Well, clothe yourselves. You see other people with more compassion? Do likewise. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, if you know that that's what you should do, do it. Kindness. You're kind people? When someone rings you up four times in a morning with the same problem, have you got kindness, or do you look at the number and think, "Oh, gosh, leave the phone"? I really mean that. Do you know, it struggles sometimes as a pastor. I can tell you it's not easy sometimes, but this does happen quite often. And do you know, I could weep for that person, because that person desperately, desperately needs help. And you can pray, and prayer changes things, and sometimes it's good news, but very often it's tough. And you think, "Oh, I'm so pleased I gave that person time. I'm so pleased that I was able to do that." It's not always been that way. You sometimes have to grow into these things and think, "I've got to be changed by the Holy Spirit." Humility. Don't think of yourselves greater than you are, or me. Let's think of others, not ourselves. Gentleness and patience. What a good thing it is when you've got something wrong or doing something, and people are gentle with you, and they're patient with you, and they're loving with you. It goes the extra mile and a half, doesn't it? The Samaritan who crossed the road, took the person on the horse, went and took them to the inn and paid for them. Isn't that gentleness and kindness and goodness, rather than walking on the wrong side of the road? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I don't know why, but Christians do seem somehow to have a few grievances against each other. They do, to not see the best things in their brothers and sisters. I'm not talking to anyone in particular, I'm just saying this. Let's learn from this scripture, and let us, if we have anything against someone else, let us come to Christ. He has forgiven us all our sins. He has thrown them away into the pile where he can't even remember them. And just as he forgave us, let us forgive others. If someone has treated you poorly, you have humility and go and bless them. You be the one who is in maturity enough to say, "I want to bless you. I want to help you." Now, Nita, I know I've shared this before, but Nita was great. When we first got married, Nita, even if she was wrong, she'd always say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And that really pulls you up by your socks when you know that you were totally in the wrong and someone else comes to mend it, if you like, because that's the way they are. You learn in life from other people. Let the things of life which are negative in you, because negatives are always developed in the dark, okay? Negatives are always developed in the dark. You want light and you want truth. And when people are light and truth, that will help you a long life's way. You know, I just say this. Holiness in ancient times was used to, if you like, describe or respect, reverence for a holy place. The word eventually became to refer to something that was separated from the rest of the world, like a building or whatever, and was sanctified and concentrated or holy. So the word in New Testament tells us this, that once we came to Christ, the blood of Jesus separated us, consecrated us, and made us holy before God. And respects us, he does, he respects us as his holy dwelling place because his Spirit lives within us. What an amazing thing that God Almighty should use us, should use you and me with such love and compassion that he wants us to be those folk who love and are alive in Christ. Let's go on from there. Bear with each other and forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. And over all these virtues, what virtues are they? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, we read in the word as well, don't we? You may give your body to be burnt, but if you have no love, it counts for nothing. You're like a clanging cymbal or a banging gong. It counts for nothing if you have not love. Love never fails. Let's be in that place where all these things we're learning together. Love never fails. It binds us all together in perfect unity. And that's what the Lord loves for his family. He loves us to be in unity together. Unity and separation from Christian to Christian is not acceptable in the body of Christ. We're all together and we should love one another as Christ loves us. Let the peace, this is 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the word rule there is the word, if I can say, it's like an umpire or a referee. So let the Holy Spirit be your referee and the word of God be there in you to rule and reign in our hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Have you got peace? Do you have peace in your lives? Do you easily get distracted and the peace flows out of the window? When Juanita became a Christian, that was the one thing that she knew she had. She had the peace of Christ. And she said, when I got that peace and I realized what that peace was, I have never, ever let it go. I want to live in that peace of Christ. And my sister said to Nita, she said, I don't know what's happened to you. She said, but whatever that peace is, I want. And that's how she became a Christian, my sister. Because she could see the difference in Nita. That peace what the world cannot offer. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. You know, this is one of the most important things for a Christian, is to be thankful for all that God has done for us, will do for us, and is there for us. Every day you can look out of your window and you can thank him because it's a new day. You can thank him that it rains on the just and the unjust. You can thank him for every good thing that he gives us in life. You can thank him and thank him instead of looking down, the rain coming down, and think, oh, miserable day. Don't let it be miserable in your spirit and in your heart. You look out and think, there's folk who probably needed that rain or whatever. Let us today rejoice and be glad because Jesus Christ is our Savior. If we could see what we've got coming, and I mean this, in the next life, I tell you, you'd be doing cartwheels. You would be thinking, wow, God has done all that and he's got this prepared for us. This is just incredible. Okay, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And that's the wisdom which is found in Christ, not worldly wisdom. Wisdom starts, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Doesn't mean fear, it means the awesomeness of God, the wonder of God. He who flung stars into space, he who knows them all by name, he who is there in every step of the way. Teach one another, sing psalms together, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. 17 we've got to. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think you've got to the end there, let me tell you, I just want to talk about 3:17, Colossians 3:17. We must not allow corrupt communication to come out or proceed from our mouth. Why? Because it grieves the Holy Spirit. And he's the last person on earth you want to grieve, because he loves you, he's for you, and he wants to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Greek word here is saproth. And this is what it means when you have language coming out of your mouth or your heart which is wrong. It is rank. It is foul. It is putrid. It is rotten. It is corrupt. It is worthless. If you're a gossiper, do you know the person who gossips to you is going to gossip about you? Don't do it. Gossip is one of the words used in here. Don't be a gossip. The word tells us don't do it, so let's not do it. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that. Just think of this. Slang, dirty jokes, pulling others apart, anything that deeply pains the Holy Spirit. Our language. Let's just make sure that our language is a language that is good and wholesome. Tells us in Mark 7:15, it is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes out of your heart. So we need a heart transplant, which God gave us when we accepted Christ. We had a different heart. But that heart only beats properly and only is used properly as we get the Holy Spirit and the Word into our hearts and into our lives. And so let's today come and understand more and more of what God wants to do in us. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father for him. And word and deed, this is a lot of things, isn't it? This includes what we do to others, what we are to others. Christ, and I want to share this because this is sometimes a conflict which Christians have. If you see someone doing something that you're not good at, you can sometimes be critical of them. But God probably hasn't called you to do what they're doing. He's called you to do something different. So instead of being critical, look at them and think, my word, God has really blessed them to do that. They can do that really well. You're not to be envious of them or anything, because he's got your plan, and what you do, that person probably wouldn't be good at anyway. So instead of having kind of discussion about it or what, why don't you go to the person and say, you did that really well, that was really good. People who want to share Christ in so many different ways. Some people will tell you this. I share this as an evangelist. Let me say, 84% of people come to Christ because of personal witness. Personal witness. And a lot of people will say these things. You know, giving out a tract is no good. Let me tell you, if you give out 10,000 tracts and one come to Christ, it was worthwhile. A lot of people will say, you know, these big missions in stadiums went out of the window like when Billy Graham finished. I just share this because I'm involved with J. John. I think I might have shared this before, but this is only about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. For 3 nights, we had stadiums in Singapore. They held 55,000 people each night. They were packed. Right? And there were 84,000 people watching live stream at the same time. You know, people think, because they think that it isn't happening here or wherever, you know, there are over 2 billion Christians in the world today. We're not on our own. Because the United Kingdom, and I say honestly, I mean this, you know, when you take Christ out of schools, when you take him out of these places, when you're not allowed to say the Lord's Prayer, when you're not allowed to do this or do that, you can see a society begins to get into a place where anything goes. Really does. Things that even 10 years ago would not be acceptable are acceptable now, but they're not according to the Word of God. Never, ever, ever Let what is in the world try to change you to mold yourself to it. This is what you're molded in. This is God's word. This is God's truth. And I want today to say, come on, let's encourage one another to get involved with blessing one another, encouraging one another, help one another, and instead of criticizing, you bless someone. If you want to gossip about me, you can tell them, you know, he's okay. I haven't known him to do X or X or X. Why I'm saying that is, thank the Lord Jesus Christ for every good thing. It's only through him and with him we can bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into being. People we love and want to know, do you know, I've shared this before and I'll share it again. Prayer. I was either going to speak about prayer or this, but I decided to speak about this. I can remember praying for a guy who we got on so well with. I prayed for him for 35 years. And he didn't seem as much to come to Christ as there was a fly on the wall. I'm kidding. I said several times to the Lord, and I mean this sincerely. I said, Lord, I prayed for this guy for 20 odd years. Throw him over the hedge or something. I don't keep putting this on my heart. I've just had enough of keep praying for this person all the time. I just can't. 35 years it was, and I led him to Christ on his deathbed. God answers. Pray. Use the word. Bless others. Don't be against them. Be for them, because Jesus Christ is for you.